Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim. Yep, you stop me up. The Good Oil for Cobram Estate. Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil. Grown, harvested and first cold pressed in northern Victoria.
Hey, thanks for the inquiry, Pasquale. Hope you're both well. We love you. We bloody love you. But where's the footy chat? Well, it's on
coming.
Now.
It's coming.
Coming right now, Pasquale. So thanks for your nice inquiry. This is harsh, Tim. In fact, I don't necessarily agree with it, but it's harsh.
Right.
You can adopt a greyhound or be like the Demons and adopt a bulldog. Josh Shackey sleeps 20 hours a day and won't chase a ball.
That's harsh.
I didn't read that last bit. Sorry. That's Tim in Balaclava.
Right.
He's gone for a bit of humour there. So harsh on Josh, but he's working very hard. What are you laughing at?
I brought a greyhound home to foster for a month and 3 days in, found her with only a little head poking out from under the doona. Took her toe. She wasn't going anywhere. She and my lab are so close. Beautiful girl. Love her so much. Carol from Devon Meadows. There you go.
Good on you, Carol. All right. Pasquale.
Carol or Carol?
Carol, it said. Pasquale wants some footy chat. So where do you want to start?
I'll tell you where I want to start because this was a really interesting conversation over the weekend. I know everyone's talked about Joshua Shelley. I know that has been a conversation that's gone on. But I just wondered, on Friday night, when it was happening, and you're talking about that game, what considerations did you give to how much you spoke about those particular incidents?
It's a good question, because there was a moment the week before where Josh perhaps hadn't been as hard, and we elected not. I was doing the game with Brownie, and we elected not to.
Why?
Well, we don't hang people out, just, you know, particularly younger players. That's my philosophy anyway. But when it was as overt as that, it would be not doing him justice to not talk about it, because then everyone would be going, well, why aren't you talking about it? So we did it. I think the boys talked about it really responsibly. I asked Buckley how you'd coach it. You know, John Lewis, who one of the hardest blokes who's played in recent times. And then the end of the day, the message was, we've all had moments like that.
Mm.
We've all had moments. Maybe not as obvious for everyone to see, but in your own mind and heart, you know that, you know, there are times where you could have gone much harder or you backed out of a contest. So what happens next is the most important thing. And that was the message. You know, this won't define you as a player, Josh, because he's a super player. But what happens next, it will be important. And there was another Josh, which I wasn't aware of, by the way, Josh Weddle, who must have...
The week before, yeah.
...done a similar thing. Mm. And then this week, the boys showed him going back hard with a flight and taking an unbelievably courageous mark. And what happens with that is you go, well, what a great kid. Because he had a moment, which he probably wouldn't have liked, but we've all had.
Mm.
And then he's obviously, you know, sat on it. Then the next chance he got to do something about it, he righted the wrong. And that's what lies in front of Joshua Shelley, doesn't it? He'll have a moment this week or next week or the week after where he'll be going back with that position that we all hate to be in.
Mm.
And he'll hopefully screw it all up and just go back like Josh Weddle did.
Yeah, I'm glad he spoke about it too.
Yeah, he spoke. Let's have a listen to him.
It's a tough one. They've definitely repeated in my head over and over again this whole weekend. And just a couple of little marking errors. That the first one was just more about, I thought someone was coming right over the top of me, and completely, honestly, just, wasn't brave enough in that situation, which, yeah, I'm going to have to take that and move on and learn from it. And the other one was just a complete misjudge. The ball just sailed over, and I thought it was coming a bit close.
just wasn't brave enough in that situation.
In that situation.
Well done.
That was on Channel 9 too. We should mention that. Yep. And then obviously the game itself ended in a controversial way as well, where Sam Draper fell on the ball and tried to disguise it by doing a starfish type thing on the ground. My immediate thought was that is going to be paid against him. I was absolutely staggered that the umpire didn't buy the whistle and pay that against him at the time.
Yeah, and the AFL explanation, just come out and tell him, just say it's a free kick. Don't go with all the technical bullshizing, because then you're treating all of your fans, people who pay the great money to go and watch your game, that you don't have to. The umpire made it, he just didn't pull the trigger.
He didn't. And you know, the other thing about that is that, and I don't know where this, I've read about this study. It was done and conducted about home ground advantage and decisions you get from referees. This was, you know, like all sports around the world at home. And then also how umpires do put whistles away during important moments in games. And the bigger the game is, the more they may be inclined to actually not blow the whistle and have a decision maybe affecting the result of the game. And we've seen this from time to time.
Yeah, what was it described as? What was the phrase? The noise of affirmation.
Yeah, the noise of affirmation. But they went against the noise of affirmation over there in Adelaide at the weekend, great surprising thing.
And Adelaide handled it really well too. Not that you have to handle anything, but emotions run high in those situations. But they said, if we're blaming one incident on us not winning, in the end, the Bombers were a better team. That's the bottom line. On that particular night, I thought anyway. Agree or disagree, doesn't matter. I haven't spoken to you all weekend because you've been at the wedding. Toby Green, is he wasting his time? Your man, your pen pal, he wasting his time going up tonight?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's wasting his time. Like, we have to look at every one of these collisions in isolation. And I think that there's a millisecond there where a player has to make a decision about whether or not they actually turn their body and try and protect themselves.
Yep.
Their action was to go for the ball, but then the ball has landed. The other guy has moved with the fly of the ball like we saw Boyd do and access the ball before you. Therefore, you have to protect yourself. Mm. Now, are we asking that bloke, in this instance, Toby, are we asking him to continue on as though he's going to mark the ball and possibly have a head collision with Boyd? Is that what we want?
Yep.
I'm of the view...
Or not jump in the first place.
Yeah, but he is jumping because he believes that he's going to get there. You're trying to read his mind.
No, I get it.
I understand that, but that's the point, isn't it? That you are committed to the ball. He goes to the ball to jump, believing that I might get there before. He's not trying to evaluate how quick the Boyd is running in terms of whether he's going to arrive there before. He does by a split second. Mm. Up until that point, he thinks he's going to get there first.
I get it.
I think he has a genuine case. I really do think he has a genuine case at the tribunal, only if they can convince that it be downgraded in terms of the force, though.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that's available to them, because the good guy thing is not available to Toby Green.
No. As I said last night, these are ones I'm not going to go to war on. If they turn out today and say we let him off, I'll be interested to know why. In the end, if there's no instance in footy these days, I don't think, where you can jump off the ground and cover up and hit a bloke in the head. Now, your explanation is right. I get all that. But so next time he presents himself in that situation, he will have to make an assessment and go, I'm not jumping here.
But who has more access to the ball? The guy who's there first. No, but the guy that... Okay. But the guy that has been kicked the ball, right? In this instance, Toby Green was on the lead.
That's right.
So the ball had been kicked to him, and then you got the other player coming back with the fly of the ball. So you're saying the guy that arrives first has access to the ball.
But
you are thinking that you are going to be that person that arrives first. And I would think that what needs to be taken in consideration is what you tried to do at that point of time.
Yeah.
Now, if you put your forearm up, then you're gone.
Yep.
No question.
Yep.
But if you just try and brace yourself and protect yourself in the act and try and mitigate the collision as best you possibly can, given that you've only had a millisecond to think about it, then I think that should be taken into consideration too.
Yeah, and that's what they'll collisions, determine tonight.
Collisions are, no matter what we want to do, collisions are still going to be a part of this game.
Yeah.
They are still going to be. We can't. Unless we go down the track of changing the rules completely and playing a completely different game.
We can change our behaviours.
And we've already seen that, though.
And that's what Toby – and let's not make it about Toby.
Okay, what degree can we change our behaviours to, though? That's what we're trying to work out now.
I guess if I'm running towards you chasing a ball on the ground, right, and you're running at me, it used to be – if I got there a split second before you and you cannoned into me with my head over the footy, bad luck. You know, maybe a high free kick or whatever. You'll get reported for that these days because you now have got to change your behaviour. When I'm in that position, right, and you're going to not be
I get that.
And that's where we're going to have – and I know it's asking a lot of the players. I'm with you on all of this and it's asking a lot of Toby. In the end, he's just going to have to go, unless I absolutely have got – unless I think I can get there and how do you determine that? Well – then his hands are out absolutely trying to mark that football. Like, arms out, open up himself, all that stuff. Then
okay, but you want him to be injured then?
No, but then
no, you do. Because no. if you
had the choice.
No. If you maintain what you're talking about, he keeps his arms outstretched, right? He crashes into Boyd with his arms outstretched. They separate further and then they have a head collision.
Yeah, well, I don't.
That's what you want.
No, because I don't think in the end he was contesting the mark at all. He jumped off the ground and covered up.
No, he started to contest the mark and then he realised when he was in flight. It's the same as Josh Rochelle saying that the ball flew higher than he thought it was going to. Sometimes there can be a misjudgment.
Yeah, I
agree. Now, that needs to be taken into consideration too.
Yeah, anyway, it's a debate that's, I'm sure it raged yesterday and...
It needs to be a debate that we need to continue to have, though, because we can't just accept if there's a collision out there on the field, given that this game was always about collisions and we've got 360-degree type game, players are going for the ball, there will be things like this that occur weekly in the game.
So we've got to try and simplify it. Don't jump off the ground and hit a bloke in the head.
No, I don't think that's a simplification of it.
For me, it is.
I disagree with that.
I could go through life playing footy for 226 games and not jump off the ground and hit a bloke in the head. I could do that, Tim.
No, you could. Well, no, you couldn't. I don't think you could. I really don't think you could.
I think I could.
No. As great as you were.
I'm not saying,
as capable
I'm not
as
saying
you were.
I'm great and I wasn't courageous. I wasn't, you know, brave like the Revolts and the Browns and all these blokes. But
there
I think I can make that decision to go, this bloke Boyd's going to get there before me. I've run flat out at it and I could have done something different other than jump in the air, tuck my shoulder and hit him in the head. I think I could.
You can't put the brakes on. You cannot put the brakes on. Well, you weren't that quick.
No, no,
I mean,
saying,
guys
just,
who were quicker well, can,
I don't
find
make
it, it more
I'm not
difficult.
Making it about me. I think players can. You're talking about a bloke who's as good as anyone in the competition in terms of the things he can do on a footy field.
I think you're asking think too much.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
You won't convince me on this. I think you're asking too much of players.
I think Brad Scott, you're biased.
I think Brad Scott and Damien Hardwick agree. This is what they had to say yesterday.
I mean, clearly the AFL, they determine a penalty based on outcome, not on action. That's abundantly clear now to everyone.
I'm sort of the opinion that at the end of the day, Toby jumped and tried to contest and then tried to protect, which is very, very hard to do anything but in midair. So if it's me personally, I'm probably letting you off. But the reality is I think the AFL tribunal will give him the week.
There you go.
Well, where's Craig McRae, who said he's all for protecting the head under any circumstance? Well, you've really got the book out there with these bits of audio he's going to play us. Anyway, agree to disagree. As I said to you, it's not one that I'm going to go to war on because if they arrive at your conclusion, then I'm accepting of that.
Do you think it'll be a long, drawn-out
a
tribunal appearance tonight?
Yep, for sure. The boys go back to Lincoln McCarthy. Remember Lincoln McCarthy took the mark and knocked the guy senseless? I can't remember what game it was. That to me is no problem because he got there first and marked the ball, and in that process he knocked this bloke out who was also trying to mark the ball. That's That's just life in footy for me. I accept. I'm accepting.
But you don't. You don't accept that the Toby Green one is just life in
footy.
No,
I think that. I think Toby could have done that differently, but you don't think that, and that's fine.
Can't believe what I'm hearing from Tim. Surprised at your perspective. And the next one, Gary, you're way off here. Tim is right. Yeah. There you go. This divides the football community right down the middle.
Yeah. And I am of the opinion, I don't think that he lined him up and said, I'm going to get him. I'm not saying that at all. There's no thinking along those lines. I think he was, in his own mind, was absolutely intending to take a mark. But in the end, where we differ in, I think he could have done something differently in the last instance, and you think he couldn't. So that's fine.
Right. I'm going to go looking for some vision of you playing.
David's in Eltona North. G'day, David.
Yeah, good morning, boys. I'm actually, as a Collingwood supporter, I'm actually defending Toby Green. Do we really want players not trying to mark the ball? There was a report in The Age during the week that 40% of concussions are actually occurring in marking contests. So does the game want to drive marking out of the game? Because I've heard so many media experts saying that Toby should have put his hands out and attacked the ball. Do we want guys kneeing guys in the head and faking it just to avoid suspension? I mean, Tim's 100% right. He was going for a mark. In the very last second, he realised that, okay, I'm not going to be able to mark the ball, and then turned to protect himself. You guys played in the era where you were taught to defend yourselves in a contact position. And so many players now are not being not protecting themselves. It's almost like brazen courage.
I think there's a different argument in all of that. So the marking contest is a different, which is, I'm happy to talk about that as well, because the knees to the back of the head and those situations are what we're talking about. And that they will
You're just
be,
saying they're incidental, though,
they
now?
Will be, well, they will be discussed. I was at a stage where I thought they can never be discussed, but they will be given that data that came out and whether knees up are going to be taken into consideration. But they are with eyes, hands up in the air, contesting a ball. If you just jumped into the back of a bloke and kneed him in the head with your arms down and not mailing for a mark, you'll take 6 weeks all day long. And rightfully so.
Right.
In my mind.
Yeah.
But in terms of a legitimate jump at the footy, then that's one of the consequences of playing our game of footy.
It's such a contentious issue, though, isn't it? Like, just looking at all these texts and they're coming through hard to keep up with them all. But it's like, it's split down the middle as to what people think about this.
So we'll let the tribunal decide. We'll take a break, come back with more after this.